There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And welcome to Generations. Friends, Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, my daughter Emily in studio with us today. And we're looking at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview, and as fathers who are trying to leave this world a better place for their children and their grandchildren, casting a vision for the next generation. That's where we're about on this program. And Dave, the power of the homosexual agenda is just overwhelming to me in many ways. Just recently, you know, the author of the Harry Potter series, Miss Rowling, you probably heard of Miss Rowling. She has written the Harry Potter series. The most recent book has sold 300 million copies. In fact, as a series, she has now sold more copies of this than I think just about every book except maybe the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress. I was just looking at the strongest sales of all time, and the Harry Potter series is really up there. And here's, she just came out, and this is for all those Christians out there who have excused Harry Potter as really good fantasy. Hey, it's just a really great redemptive theme working throughout. Folks, the author, Ms. Rowling, has just come out last week and said the whole series was a prolonged argument for tolerance. She urged her fans to question authority, and one of the key characters, the leader in this witchcraft wizard school, is homosexual. So she came out and said, he's homosexual, and our whole agenda here was to argue for tolerance, tolerance for witches, tolerance for homosexuals, tolerance for every evil thing I can think of under the sun. This is her agenda, and Dave, I think she's been successful. I think, Dave, one of the reasons why some 73% of people over 30 years of age, or under 30 years of age, support homosexual marriage is simply because the schools, the media, the culture, the Harry Potter books, et cetera, are speaking with a unified voice, and that is homosexuality is a beautiful thing, as opposed to what actually God says in the Bible, and that is that it's an abomination. And on that theme, folks, ENDA just passed the House of Representatives. You say, what is ENDA? That's the federal bill that would get rid of any kind of a discrimination against homosexuals in the free market. That is, the government now is supposed to have the right to walk into any business and tell you who to hire and who not to hire. Of course, a violation of the free enterprise rules and free market and freedom and liberty and all that. We know that. But, of course, Dave, not only do they want to violate the laws that would enable freedom in hiring and firing, so not only do they want to abridge freedoms, which is what most fascist homosexuals want to do, but it is also endorsing the homosexual lifestyle. And they're not sure that the president is going to sign this one, but the White House has been involved in marking up this bill, and it finally passed the House of Representatives just a day or two ago. Barney Frank, very excited about it, needless to say.
And I got a feeling that the president will veto this, but next time around, it may be veto-proof or it may not be vetoed. So I think this is one of those things that's coming down the respect of private property, your business, your employees, those who would represent you. I think the respect of private property has gone out the window, but what's happening now is that we call evil good and good evil. That's where we're at.
Well, if Bob Jones III has his way, it's going to pass. Absolutely. Bob Jones III getting behind Mitt Romney, and Romney has committed to getting behind the ENDA bill. So, yeah, Dave, I think if Bob Jones III and all the conservative evangelicals out there have their way, ENDA will pass. By the way, states all over America already have laws against sexual orientation discrimination, 19 states and the District of Columbia. 9 states specifically protect transgender people as well, and laws will come into effect in Iowa, Vermont, Colorado, in Oregon by January. These guys are on a roll, Dave. I mean, they're just clipping off the states one by one by one by one. The homosexual agenda is coming to pass, my friends, and I think the hate crimes law as well will probably pass in the next administration, Dave. I can't imagine that it will not. That's the direction the Republicans are heading.
They say that the Republicans are just like the Democrats, only they get there slower. So the Democrats would pass ENDA right away. The Republicans will wait 4 years or 6 years to get it done. But they are all going the same direction. That's the problem. We are heading for Gomorrah, Just how quick we get there is the question right now.
Yeah, I'm sure the NAMLA folks and the pro-bestial folks and the pro-incest people are very excited about what's happening because they're right around the corner. Another 10, 20 years, the Republicans will get behind their agenda, too, as Republicans do. Well, folks, this comes from Finland. A pastor out there in Finland refused to work with a female preacher because of his biblical convictions. And again, this is where the problem comes into play, Dave, where, you know, you got a guy who's not willing to work with a homosexual because he doesn't want to bring a homosexual into his counseling ministry or his counseling business where he's trying to counsel folks, and he's going to get in trouble for doing that. Same thing's happening in Finland where this pastor says, you know what, the Word of God actually says that preachers shouldn't be women. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians, there's plenty of passages in the Word of God that says women should not be ruling in the church. They shouldn't be teaching in the church in official teaching capacity. And here we have a pastor who actually was trying to submit to the Word of God and got in a lot of trouble in a Finnish court. Now, this guy, Ari Noro, is on trial November 16th for allegedly violating Finland's laws barring discrimination in the workplace or in public based on gender and other grounds. Noro is a member of the Lutheran Evangelical Association in Finland, a group within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland that believes the Bible does not allow women to serve as pastors. So you have some faithful men who are standing up. Dave, this is exactly the direction we're heading in this country. And I think it's time to get ready for persecution. Maybe you need to open up that persecution workshop you've been talking about, that new church growth program that you've mentioned a few times.
Yeah, the one that has always worked in history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I have lots of hope for Finland because there's a pastor standing up. This is not very much unlike where Scotland was about 400 years ago, where the government, the state government, was trying to license preachers. Who could preach? Who would preach? And they brought in preachers that people in Scotland didn't appreciate, and they unlicensed preachers like John Bunyan, told him he couldn't preach. And what happened is the faithful continued. They took the persecution. In fact, they were honored to be martyrs. And the church had one of the best church growth movements of theology, of practice. In fact, our nation was founded basically because these men stood up. I'm encouraged. There's people in Finland and Sweden and Canada, maybe soon in America, who will actually stand on the Word of God and let God worry about the consequences.
Hallelujah, my friends. It turns out that Christians are going to have to stand or remove themselves from the scene altogether. We're coming down to the point where actually the antithesis is making itself known to us. And as it turns out, there is no neutrality in this war. We pretended to live with neutrality for the last 100 years. And yes, the Christian life was cushy for most over the last 100 years. But now the lines are being drawn very clearly. And those who will stand for Christ, those who will stand for the truth of God's word, will be persecuted. And that's a good thing. And ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, we're gonna talk about persecution. Why does persecution come and why is it so good? That next on this program. Stay with me. Folks, I don't know if you knew this, but this is Persecution Week. Pray for the Persecuted Church Week. And I'm not sure who initiated this. Might be Voice of the Martyrs, one of the other persecution organizations in America. But this is a time to remember our persecuted brethren from around the world. And I forgot to mention this, Dave, in the last segment, but as it turns out, another homeschool family is in trouble in Germany because they're trying to homeschool. They're trying to keep their children out of these pagan schools where they're teaching them basically to be humanists and evolutionists, and they're giving them pornography as sex ed classes in the third and fourth grade. They're saying, don't want to do this. Want to raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. As it turns out, there are a couple of hundred faithful, godly families left in Germany. And we thank God for them, but of course they're being persecuted because if you stand for God, if you stand for Christ, if you stand for His Word in the modern day, especially in these humanist nations, chances are you're going to get in trouble. That's precisely what's happening to this homeschool family, Dave. They've already been fined something like $7,000 to $8,000. And I'd say get ready for this form of persecution in America as well.
And what you got to understand here is that this family's not going around saying, you next door have to homeschool your children. What they're saying is, we want to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want to teach our children God's word when we rise up, when we lie down, when we walk along the road. You would say this is a victimless crime if it was a crime at all, and yet Germany wants to exterminate that. They don't want to have room for this father to raise his children in the Lord. This is the form of persecution that comes to the church. It's not because we're reaching out and trying to impose God's law on everybody. We're just trying to live the law ourselves, and persecution will come. And what else is new? This has been going on since, well, since Christ.
Yeah, and Dave, you know, I think these Christians in America don't understand what it is to receive some flack. When you get a little flack, what do? Well, you just push on through, and that's what these Christians are doing. These guys, these homeschoolers, refuse, utterly refuse to send their children to the public schools in Germany. And I say praise God for that. That's a wonderful thing. Now, you also heard that the Chinese banned Bibles in the 2008 Olympics.
In the Olympic Village, that's right. They told the athletes, don't even bother bringing in a Bible, and if you're a visitor, bring only one and take one with you. So they're really fearing that people might bring the sword, the word of the God. You know, in America, we might have Olympics and worry about Islam coming and blow us up. They're worried about the word of God changing their culture.
Yeah, and it is a powerful thing. They're afraid of what it could do. But, Dave, you know what? These Olympians that wind up playing in the 2008 Olympics, if they love God, if they're going to serve God, they better take that Bible into that Olympic Village and defy that government, because, you know what? We're to obey God rather than men, and that's effectively the testimony that the apostles gave during those first couple of years while they were under severe persecution in Jerusalem under the Romans and under the Jews. So again, we ought to obey God rather than men. That is the watchword for every Christian. He is to be guided by the word of God, and if at any point the government is encouraging him to do something to sin against God, he ought to oppose that government. And Dave, if the government ever comes to my home and says, you have got to give your children a secular education that doesn't involve the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, you know what I'm going to say? Uh-uh. It's not going to happen over my dead body.
It reminds me of a scene in the movie Luther, I think the best scene, where the princes of Saxony are before the Holy Roman Emperor, and the Holy Roman Emperor is telling them that they have to give up their Bibles, the ones that are written in German. And the princes, one of them gets there, kneels down and says, you can lop off my head and then you can pry it off my fingers, but not until then. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have as Christians. This is who we are.
Dave, you can hear the detractors coming back again and again, say, Kevin Swanson, you're being way too narrow on this issue. Why can't you give a little bit on this very narrow application? I mean, let them take the Bible away from you. Come on! Let them take your kid away from you and put them in the public schools. Who cares? I mean, when they come home, you can deprogram them if you want to. Blah, 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 blah. But Dave, you know what? My conscience establishes that one of the applications for bringing my children up in the paideia of Christ, a command from Ephesians 6:4, no options, no ifs, ands, or buts. God's word commands me to bring my children up in the paideia, in the education system of Christ, which means that his word has got to be at the bottom, at the foundation. The fear of Almighty God has got to be at the foundation of what my kids are learning in science, math, English, literature, etc., etc. And if somebody comes to my home and says, you know what, for 6 hours a day, we can give your children an education that's not in the fear of God, I'm saying that's a really bad application of Ephesians 6:4. And my conscience is bound by Ephesians 6:4, and I am not sending my children to the public schools, even under the force of the civil magistrate and the sword.
And not only that, Kevin, 1 Corinthians 1:18, I would add to that that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You unplug yourself from the power of God, you are powerless. You're going to just walk away from that? You're going to disconnect yourself from the cross? May it never be. May it never be that we are not in Christ. And how are we in Christ? But by the preaching of the gospel, by the reading of his word.
And by the way, Dave, people are not persecuted for running around saying Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, okay? I mean, if somebody walks up to some pagan out there, some tyrant out there, says Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan, he'll just smile and say, thank you very much, have a nice day. But if you walk up to him and say, you know what, you took your brother's wife and you have committed adultery and you need to repent before Almighty God, chances are you could lose your head for that kind of stuff.
Well, or you get chased out of town if you shut down the idol shops. They frown on that, too.
They frown on that kind of thing, yeah. And that's the kind of thing that the apostles were doing. They were shutting down the idol makers, and they were standing in the face of kings and saying, you can't have your brother's wife. Stop your fornication, Mr. Clinton. That's wickedness before God, and you ought to repent before God for that kind of thing. And you know what? If you walk up to somebody and say, stop engaging in homosexual sex, if you say that on the air, like we're trying to do on this program from time to time, and if you stand up and say you need to raise your children in the fear of God, and Jesus died for sinners, dirty, rotten fornicators and liars like you and me, and we need to repent of those sins and turn to Christ for his forgiveness, if you actually expand the gospel to include this little notion called sin, Dave, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be persecuted for that. By the way, somebody just told me that they listened to the largest televangelist in America today, and they heard the man say, "I will never preach against sin from this pulpit. I will never mention that word from this pulpit." And, Dave, you know what? There is a form of a gospel out there that is a total fraud. It is amazing to me the kind of opposition that unbelievers will put up against Christians. Now, it's not because Christians are running out there with the sword themselves trying to impose the power of the state upon people. Christians don't do that kind of thing. The Muslims do that sort of thing, but Christians are primarily focused on the preaching of the Word of God. They talk about discipling children as they sit in their homes. They create this different form of community that doesn't involve the top-down socialist big government system. And yet, why does a nation like Iran take a beautiful godly man like Haik Hovsepian in the movie A Cry from Iran, and they knife this guy 25 times? I mean, we see a picture of this guy's body knifed 25 times. You can imagine the kind of hate for God and for the love of God that's in this man to slice this guy up as they did. This guy, Haik Hovsepian, was a leader in the church in Iran. He engaged in charitable outreaches. During disaster times, he'd take food to people, take care of them. He served the Lord's Supper. He was singing songs and writing songs and performing encouraging music for the Christians in Iran. But why the hatred, Dave? I mean, there's such hatred for the living God in Iran. And I think it has something to do with the hearts of men and the fact that they ultimately have a hatred towards God.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised, because when we have Christ in us, they will treat us like they treated Christ. Christ, as we recall, was murdered by the Jews. Why? He was preaching the cross even before it happened, that faith in him was the way to sanctification.
And he certainly was preaching the law of God and commanding repentance right and left, and they responded to it negatively.
So you have Christ in you, and they killed Christ. It's not a stretch to think that they're going to kill you. I mean, Nero did it, Domitian did it, because what? It represents a kingdom and a power structure that disenfranchises those who are not in Christ. So those who are in Christ, we should expect some of this, because the enemies, those who will stumble on Christ, don't like that.
And Dave, I think there's another thing that people stumble on, and that is the fact that Christians reject polytheism. And of course, polytheism is what all secular Roman type of governments and American type of governments really advocate strongly, and that is that we accept all the gods in the pantheon. We, you know, bring them all in. We'll respect them all. You know, we'll have the Muslim guy and the Christian guy and the Hindu guy all show up in the National Cathedral for the service. Everybody's here. We respect them all equally, because all religions are respected equally, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the same thing for the public schools. But when somebody comes in and says, no, there's a God who says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And when there's a God who comes in, like the Jewish Ark did, into the temple of Dagon, Dagon, the god of the Philistines, is going to fall to the ground and crack up and break into pieces, because God will not tolerate any other god before him. And Dave, I think the fact that Christians, whenever they speak, as we do on this program, we speak as if there is such a thing as an absolute truth from an absolute God who gave us an absolute law, and you can't debate with that. You can't debate with that. You can't be a God like this God. You can't bring in any other God to compete with this God, because his very first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Dave, they look at Christians as being very narrow-minded and biased, and therefore worthy of the death penalty in many cases.
The problem with those who don't know Christ, who don't know God, is that they do know God. Romans tells us they know something about God, and they're suppressing that knowledge. They're willfully, to quote Peter, suppressing the knowledge so that they can go on doing the things that they wanted to do, which were wicked and evil in the sight of God. So the problem isn't that they don't know God. The problem is they do know God. That's why they persecute Christians.
Talking about why the unbelievers persecute Christians, and hundreds of thousands of Christians being persecuted somewhere around the world today, including in Germany and Finland and other places like that, and probably America in very, very soon. Dave, one of the reasons also is that I think Christians are badly misunderstood. You know, the Romans persecuted a lot of the Christians because they had this idea that somehow they were engaged in cannibalism and in incest. They accused them of incest because they talked about brotherly love. They talked about phileo a lot. They hugged each other. They were affectionate to one another. And And ungodly people just see that as very, very strange, because immediately, whenever they think of love, they go to Eros. And I think the same thing could happen, Dave, here in this country. There are people today who suspect Christian homeschoolers of incest because they have these father-daughter conferences and seminars where they're encouraging fathers to turn their hearts to their daughters and to cultivate a phileo love. But see, the ungodly will all automatically interpret phileo love to be effectively Eros and in the mind of the pagan, because the pagan simply doesn't understand phileo. He's so perverted in his mind, he can't even imagine that a Christian could exist with a pure form of phileo love, where a father really does have the heart of his daughter and she has his heart as well.
And yet there's still a little bit of an imprint of the image of God on them, because they know, somehow they know, that incestuous Eros love would be wrong. Some reason or other they know that, so they have some ethics that are left over.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing the contradictions that exist within the mind of the unbeliever. But I think these are the reasons why Christians are persecuted. They hate the God who commands them to faith in Christ, and the God who doesn't allow any other gods before him. And they want to run out and they'll persecute Christians for these reasons. And I think we can expect persecution here, Dave. I think we need to prepare our children for it. We need to say, hey, persecution will come. Maybe at that time, the beginning, it'll be in terms of looking at a family that's living godly, and they'll be mocked for their homeschooling, they'll be mocked for their modest dress, they'll be mocked for, you know, any kind of thing they're doing according to God's word. And we ought to receive these things, Dave, and turn the other cheek and pray for those who persecute us and forgive them. Jesus, remember his last words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that is pretty much the remark on the lips of every martyr who has ever been martyred and persecuted for Jesus Christ.
Not only will there be mocking, but if things like ENDA passes, we won't be able to do commerce the way that the rest of the world does, because we won't be able to hire whom we want to hire. We won't be able to treat people the way that we think we should. So there will be some economic disadvantages to being Christian. And yet, if we take that and we forgive and we actually live the Christian life the way Christ tells us to, we can stand there at the end with the other martyrs and we can overcome them. And how do we overcome them? We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of our testimony. We'll keep our testimony pure if we will live it, and we won't love our lives unto death. In other words, we're willing to give up our lives, and we'll see that as an honor. And if we will do those things, the kingdom of God will explode across this land.
Dave, I want to end on a story from Voice of the Martyrs, and I do want to endorse Voice of the Martyrs, and you need to get their newsletter. I highly recommend that for every family listening. You can get it at persecution.com. Really neat story, Dave. There was an imam, a leader of a Muslim sect in Indonesia, and these guys were attacking Christian churches, and this guy was at the very front of this group of, say, 500 to 600 Muslims, and they were taking down this church. And the imam just happened to hear somebody within the church building pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that really impressed him, really, in a strong way. The next Sunday, Dave, he stood up in front of his group at the Muslim mosque, and the words just came out of his mouth. I think Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I mean, he just said it. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And they ran him out of that place. They beat him badly. He managed to escape with his life, and now he's serving God. I think the point is the power of their testimony is strong, and it will really impact lives. It's so much more powerful than the sword, Dave. It's so much more powerful than any government or anything government could do. We're not denying the fact that Christians should be involved in government, but Dave, think about how much more powerful it is when a man lives the life of Christ, and as he is being persecuted, he just forgives. And that has a tremendous testimony. It brings down the citadels of Satan everywhere, all over the world. And that needs to be our testimony, forgiveness. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the message today on this program. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.